Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So today I will be reading mostly, and some of the commentary will be given also, but it is from Madhyalila chapter 8, which continues from previous chapter. These are talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. Fascinating, because they tell us exactly where we have to go, step by step, in terms of developing slowly, gradually, into Krishna consciousness, and not jumping into higher levels of Krishna consciousness when we are too immature to either understand them or to broadcast them properly. So without any further ado, I printed the whole chapter, so don't get scared. I don't plan to read the whole thing. The summary of the eighth chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhasya. After visiting the temple of Jayata Nisingha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the banks of the river Godavari, to a place known as Vidyanagara. When Srila Ramananda Roy went there to take his bath, they met. This is the preface, by the way. After introducing himself, Sri Ramananda Roy requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to remain in the village for some days. Honoring his request, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed there in the home of some Vedic Brahmins. In the evening, Srila Ramananda Roy used to come to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Roy, who was clothed in ordinary dress, by the way, he was a governor, and he wanted to be in disguise so people are not walking around bowing to him, pranaming him, and bothering him. He wanted to have a private meeting with Lord Chaitanya, and no one should know that he is the governor. Of course, many who knew his face would know that, but everybody didn't know his face because everybody doesn't get a chance to meet the governor personally. Ramananda Roy, who was clothed in ordinary dress, offered the Lord respectful obeisances. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu questioned him on the object and process of worship and also asked him to recite verses from the Vedic literature. First of all, Srila Ramananda Roy enunciated the system of the Varnashram institution. He recited various verses about Karmapana, stating that everything should be dedicated to the Lord. He then spoke of detached action, knowledge mixed with devotional service, and finally the spontaneous loving service of the Lord. After hearing Srila Ramananda Roy recite some verses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the principle of pure devotional service, devoid of all kinds of speculation. No speculation. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy to explain the higher platform of devotional service. Then Srila Ramananda Roy explained unalloyed devotional service, love of Godhead, and serving the Lord in the moods of pure servitude, fraternity, and parental love. Finally, excuse me, it's going to fall down if I don't leave it here. Finally, he spoke of serving the Lord in conjugal love. He then spoke of how conjugal love can be developed in various ways. I'd like to make a point on this. Srila Prabhupada uses the word conjugal, which in the dictionary, and it's commonly known as marital, marriage. But actually what he is speaking about is not marriage, because many of the gopis were, some of them were already married. And they came in the Parakiya Ras, which means they came as looking at Krishna as a boyfriend. And so basically it means two people getting together in a rather intimate but not sexual, romantic, friendly, loving. There was hugging and there was some kissing, but there was nothing more than that. So this is what Prabhupada means when he speaks of marital or conjugal, not a man and a woman being married. Finally, he spoke of serving the Lord in conjugal love. He then spoke of how conjugal love can be developed in various ways. This conjugal love attains its highest perfection in Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna. He next described the position of Srimati Radharani and the transcendental mellows of love of God. Srila Ramananda Roy then recited a verse of his own concerning the platform of ecstatic vision, technically called Prema Vilas Vivarto. Ramananda Rai also explained that all stages of conjugal love can be attained through the mercy of the residents of Vrindavan, especially by the mercy of the gopis. All these subject matters were thus vividly described. Gradually, Ramananda Rai could understand the position. He could understand the position of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his real form, Ramananda Roy fell unconscious. This was an ecstasy, not a shock. After some days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy to retire from government service and come to Jagannath Puri. These descriptions of the meetings between Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are taken from the notebook of Swarup Damodar Goswami. So that is their source. We now begin the actual readings of text number one. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as Gauranga, is the ocean of all conclusive knowledge in devotional service. He empowered Sri Ramananda Roy, who may be likened to a cloud of devotional service. This cloud was filled with the water of all the conclusive purports of devotional service and was empowered by the ocean to spread this water over the sea of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Thus the ocean of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became filled with the jewels of the knowledge of pure devotional service. I'm not going to mention the numbers of the texts because that's an interruption from the flow of the emotional impact that this has when it is read in a continuous form. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Acharya. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to his previous program, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went forward on his tour and after some days arrived at the place of pilgrimage known as Jyada Nrisinga. Upon seeing the deity of Lord Nrisinga in the temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his respectful obeisances by falling flat. Then, in ecstatic love, he performed various dances, chanted, and offered prayers. All glories to Nrisingadev. All glories to Nrisingadev, who is the Lord of Prahlad Maharaj. And, like a honeybee, is always engaged in beholding the lotus-like face of the goddess of fortune. Although very ferocious, the lioness is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakasipu, Lord Narasingadev is very, very soft and kind to devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited different verses from the Shastra. The priest of Lord Narasingadev then brought garlands and the remnants of the Lord's food and offered them to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As usual, a Brahmin offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu an invitation. The Lord passed the night in the temple and then commenced his tour again. The next morning, in the great ecstasy of love, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started on his tour with no knowledge of the proper direction, and he continued the whole day and night. As previously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted to Vaishnavism many people he met on the road. After some days, the Lord reached the banks of the river Godavari. When he saw the river Godavari, the Lord remembered the river Yamuna. And when he saw the forests on the banks of the river, he remembered Sri Vrindavan Dham. After performing his usual chanting and dancing for some time in the forest, the Lord crossed the river and took his bath on the other bank. After bathing in the river, the Lord walked a little distance from the bathing place and engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna. At that time, accompanied by the sounds of music, Ramananda Roy came there on a palanquin to take his bath. Does everybody here know what a palanquin is? If you don't, please raise your hand. One? Okay. We have persons from other countries, so it's not necessary that everybody know the meanings of these words. A palanquin is kind of like a stretcher. You know, when a person is sick, they put them. Well, it's like that, but more decorated, more ornate, and much more comfortable. So, and it's carried generally by either two or four persons, okay? At that time, accompanied by the sounds of music, Ramananda Roy came there on a palanquin to take his bath. Why palanquin? Because he was a governor. He was an esteemed personal. And generally, those persons are given special treatment, special respect and reverence. And this is an example of that. Many Brahmins following the Vedic principles accompanied Ramananda Roy. According to the Vedic rituals, Ramananda Roy took his bath and offered oblations to his forefathers. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that the person who had come to bathe in the river was Ramananda Roy. How did he know this? He's omniscient. He knows everything. The Lord wanted so much to meet him that his mind immediately began running after him. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was running after him mentally, he patiently remained sitting. Ramananda Roy, seeing the wonderful sannyasi, then came to see him. Srila Ramananda Roy then saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be as brilliant as 100 suns. The Lord was covered by a saffron garment. He was large in body and very strongly built, and his eyes were like lotus petals. When Ramananda Roy saw the wonderful sannyasi, he was struck with wonder. He went to him and immediately offered his respectful obeisances, falling down flat like a rod. The Lord stood up and asked Ramananda Roy to arise and chant the holy name of Krishna. Indeed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very eager to embrace him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then inquired whether he was Ramananda Roy, and he replied, "Yes, I am your very low servant, and I belong to the Shudra community." We can see here the great humility of Ramananda Roy. In his introduction, he wants it clear that he's not, although he's got all these people worshiping him and venerating him, respecting him, he's not a big shot. He's really a small shot next to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, he calls himself a Shudra. He said, now, to an ordinary person, he doesn't have to do that, and he most likely would not. But to a great personage like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wants to minimize himself to the max so that the Lord would not get this idea that this is a very proud partridge coming before him with all this respect around him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Sri Ramananda Roy very firmly. Now, this is normally not done. Sannyasis don't embrace Shudras, and Ramananda Roy was known to be a Shudra. But he did not care, because he was concerned only with one thing, and that was the advancement of Ramananda Roy. He was so advanced that even he will say a little later on that I feel I am advancing by touching you, by looking at you, by listening to you. In fact, I'm going to listen to you give the explanations of many different verses which start from the bottom of Bhakti Yoga and lead to the highest level of Krishna Prema. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Sri Ramananda Roy very firmly indeed. Both the master and the servant almost lost consciousness due to ecstatic love. Their natural love for each other was awakened in them both, and they embraced and fell to the ground. When they embraced each other, ecstatic symptoms, paralysis, perspiration, tears, shivering, paleness, and standing up of the bodily hairs appeared. The word Krishna came from their mouths falteringly. Does everybody know what the word falteringly means? Put your hand up if you don't know. No, if you don't know. So everybody knows? Abai, you know? He got his hand up. Falteringly means not in a normal, straight, or strict manner. For example, if I walk falteringly, I'm not walking uprightly. I'm almost falling down on the floor. And this happens when a person is overwhelmed with transcendental bliss. He can hardly speak. When the stereotype ritualistic Brahmins who were following the Vedic principles saw this ecstatic manifestation of love, they were struck with wonder. All those Brahmins began to reflect as follows. This is their ideas. The Brahmins thought, we can see that this sannyasi has a luster like the effulgence of Brahman. But how is it he is crying upon embracing a Shudra, a member of the fourth caste in the social order? They thought, this Ramananda Roy is the governor of Madras, a highly learned and grave person, a Mahapandit, but upon touching this sannyasi, he has become restless like a madman. While the Brahmins were thinking in this way about the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw those outsiders and restrained his transcendental emotions. They were not understanding. They didn't have that level of bhakti, of love. So all they could do is become confused, uncertain, doubtful, sannyasi, shudra, external, materialistic mentality, not a great devotee embracing another great devotee. They didn't have that idea, and consequently Lord Chaitanya wanted to move away from them because they were incongruous, so they were non-understanding. And it's an interruption for two people who are deeply in love with each other spiritually to have that kind of, what we call in America, kibitzing. What do you like that? That kind of stuff. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw those outsiders and restrained. Now, when they regained their sanity, they both, we're talking about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and began to speak as follows. Quote, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, now Lord Chaitanya is speaking, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke of your good qualities, and he made a great endeavor to convince me to meet you. Indeed, I have come here just to meet you. It is very good that even without making an effort, I have gotten your interview here. So here the Lord Almighty, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, he is taking a very humble position. He doesn't have to. Sannyasis are looked up to. But next to Ramananda Roy, knowing the greatness of his knowledge, the greatness of his experiences, the greatness of him. He was a gopi in a previous lifetime. So this is a very advanced soul. And he's actually manifesting his appreciation, affection for this great soul. So, making an effort, I have gotten your interview here. Wow. Ramananda Roy replied, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya thinks of me as his servant. Even in my absence, he is very careful to do me good. By his mercy, I have received your interview here. Consequently, I consider that today I have become a successful human being. So this is a person who's identifying, but not really, externally identifying. Internally, he knows who he is. He knows he's a gopi. But he's saying, I have become a successful human being for us. That anyone who reads the words of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or looks into the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should become this reverential and feeling, I have now seen the Lord in his pastimes. I have become a successful human being, or I am becoming more and more successful as I grow older. Quote, I can see that you have bestowed special mercy upon Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Therefore, you have touched me. Although I am untouchable, this is due only to his love for you. You are the supreme personality of Narayan himself. And I am only a government servant interested in materialistic activities. Indeed, I am the lowest among men of the fourth caste. You do not fear the Vedic injunctions stating that you should not associate with a Shudra. You are not contemptuous of my touch, although in the Vedas, you are forbidden to associate with Shudras. You are the supreme personality of Godhead himself. The Lord knows the advancement of this great soul. He never felt minimized. He never felt small. Rather, as we will go on and see, he felt that he was being honored by having the interview of Ramananda Roy. And that's really how we should act when we get to meet with persons who are very advanced, and to show them our respect, our glorification of them. And Krishna is very pleased by that humility. That's how we develop humility. So an example is being set here. You are the supreme personality of Godhead himself. Sorry. Therefore, no one can understand your purpose. By your mercy, you are touching me, although this is not sanctioned by the Vedas. You have come here specifically to deliver me. He's already delivered thousands of times over, but he's taking a humble position. You've come here to deliver me. You are so merciful that you alone can deliver all fallen souls. He's calling himself a fallen soul. It is the general practice of all saintly people to deliver the fallen. Therefore, they go to people's houses, although they have no personal business there. My dear Lord, sometimes great saintly persons go to the homes of householders, although these householders are generally low-minded. We find this same quote in the Krishna book, as some of us know. When a saintly person visits their homes, one can understand that it is for no other purpose than to benefit the householders. Along with me, there are about 1,000 men, including the Brahmins, and all of them appear to have their hearts melted simply by seeing you. I hear everyone chanting the holy name of Krishna. Everyone's body is thrilled with ecstasy, and there are tears in everyone's eyes. My dear sir, according to your behavior and bodily features, you are the supreme personality of Godhead. It is impossible for ordinary living beings to possess such transcendental qualities. The Lord replied to Ramananda Roy, Sir, you are the best of the topmost devotees. It's like a competition. Who can praise the other more, higher, better, and greater? The Lord replied to Ramananda Roy, Sir, you are the best of the topmost devotees. Therefore, simply the sight of you has melted everyone's heart. Although I am a Mayavadi sannyasi, a non-devotee, I am also floating in the ocean of love of Krishna simply by touching you. And what to speak of others? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya knew this would happen, and thus to rectify my heart, Lord Chaitanya is now speaking. And thus to rectify my heart, which is very hard, he asked me to meet you. In this way, each of them praised the qualities of the other, and both of them were pleased to see each other. At this time, the Brahmana, Vaishnav, following the Vedic principles, came and offered obeisances. He fell flat before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and invited him for lunch. This is a common practice in India, that Brahmins like to come and offer lunch or some form of eating to sannyasis. And that's how they get benefited, and also they get the sannyasi to talk scripture, and they learn the scripture without reading it, but by just hearing it. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the invitation, knowing the Brahmin to be a devotee, and slightly smiling, he spoke as follows to Ramananda Roy. Quote, I wish to hear from you about Lord Krishna. Indeed, my mind is inclined to desire this. Therefore, I wish to see you again. They were coming to the end of their conversation. I wish to hear from you about Lord Krishna. Indeed, my mind is inclined to desire this. Therefore, I wish to see you again. Ramananda Rai replied, My Lord, although you have come to correct me, a fallen soul, my mind is not yet purified simply by seeing you. What he's in effect saying is, I am so impure, I'm so low, I'm so good for nothing that I require much more association with you. It's like staying in the bathtub when you're taking a bath. Instead of 5 minutes, he wants to stay in there for 5 hours because he thinks he's got too much dirt on himself. This is, again, a very deeply and greatly humble person. And this he believes, by the way. It's not he's just saying this for show. It is not. They do not believe that they are so great and wonderful. In fact, when people glorify them, they cancel this in their mind. They say, no, you, Krishna, are glorifiable. And I, whom they are glorifying, is simply receiving what you have given me. So really, you get the credit, not me. Ramananda Roy replied, My Lord, although you have come to correct me, a fallen soul, my mind is not yet purified simply by seeing you. Please stay for 5 or 7 days and kindly cleanse my polluted mind. After that much time, my mind will certainly be pure. Unquote. Although neither could tolerate separation from the other. This is also another aspect of real love. When you love someone very greatly, you don't want to separate from them for even a second. And that second becomes like a year. In fact, we have that in the Shikshastika prayers where Lord Chaitanya says it. It feels like 12 years or more when I separate you even for a moment. Although neither could tolerate separate from the other, Ramananda Roy nonetheless offered his obeisances to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and departed. So we're going, for those who may be following in their book, it's text 55 now. After finishing his evening bath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down and waited for Ramananda Roy to come. Then Ramananda Roy, accompanied by one servant, came to meet him. Ramananda Roy approached Lord Sri Chaitanya and offered his respectful obeisances, and the Lord embraced him. Then they began to discuss Krishna in a secluded place. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda Roy recite a verse from the revealed scriptures concerning the ultimate goal of life. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashram. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of the four Varnas and Ashrams. This is first step, first stage. The Lord replied, This is external. You had better tell me of some other means to reach the ultimate goal of life. Ramananda Roy continued, My dear son of Kunti, he's quoting now, whatever you do, this is Bhagavad Gita, whatever you eat, whatever you offer in sacrifice, whatever you give in charity, and whatever austerities you perform, All the results of such activities should be offered to me, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ramananda Roy said, this is also external for him, not for us. For us, it is par for the course, and we should take it very seriously and hope to ultimately understand. This is a very great verse, whatever offered the Supreme Personality of God. And when we take that, we move slowly but surely by getting the grace of Krishna to another, as we will go on, to another higher level of Krishna consciousness or bhakti yoga. So Ramananda Roy says, this is also external. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, please proceed and speak further on this matter. Ramananda Roy replied, to give up one's occupational duties in the vanashram system is the essence of perfection. Ramananda Roy continued, he's quoting himself, occupational duties are described in the religious scriptures. If one analyzes them, he can fully understand their qualities and faults and then give them up completely to render service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a person is considered a first-class man. As stated in the scripture, Bhagavad Gita 18:66, after giving up all kinds of religious and occupational duties, if you come to me, Krishna is saying, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and take shelter, I will give you protection from all of life's sinful reactions. Do not worry. After hearing Ramananda Roy speak in this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again rejected his statement. Now, when I say rejected, it doesn't mean that he didn't accept it. It sounds like it. What he's saying is, I want something a little higher. Because where he was as an advanced gopi, he wanted to get that. And if he's going to hear that, that stimulates and stirs and his rasa with Krishna as a gopi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again rejected his statement and said, go ahead and say something more. Ramananda Roy continued, according to the Bhagavad Gita, one who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. Prabhupada quotes this over and over, this particular verse. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. After hearing this, the Lord, as usual, rejected it, considering it to be external devotional service. He again asked Ramananda Roy to speak further, and Ramananda Roy replied, pure devotional service without any touch of speculative knowledge is the essence of perfection. Ramananda Roy continued, Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, those devotees who have thrown away the impersonal conception of the absolute truth and have therefore abandoned discussing empiric philosophical truths. Empiric means that which is observable, okay, not realized from within, but you see it and you come to a conclusion by observation. That's empiric philosophical truth. Should hear from self-realized. In other words, this is really no level of advancement. So it says here, therefore abandon discussing empiric philosophical truth, should hear from self-realized devotees about your holy name, form, pastimes, and qualities. Should completely follow the principles of devotional service and remain free from illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and animal slaughter. Not only slaughter, but animal eating. Surrendering themselves fully with body, words, and mind, they can live in any ashram or social status. Here we have a good example. Ramananda Roy, he's living as like a kshatriya because he's a government officer. And yet, look what he knows. But he doesn't take it as something low or good for nothing. He's simply saying, he's able to carry on his devotional loving service no matter where he is. And this is the test. The height of Prabhupada was the same wherever he was. He was in the Bowery. How many of us here have gone to the Bowery? It smells of... I see one hand up. Okay, two. It smells of liquor. And there are many very homeless people living on the streets. There's clothes are soaked in urine and defecation. It's not a pretty place to go to. But Srila Prabhupada walked past all these persons and was able to not just ignore, but in his heart of hearts, he prayed for these poor people. That is his nature, that they should also get these teachings. And therefore, we get the result of these teachings going here, there, and everywhere, all around the world, because that's what God wanted, and Srila Prabhupada manifested what God wanted. Surrendering themselves fully with body, words, and mind, they can live in any ashram or social status. Indeed, you are conquered by such persons, although you are always unconquerable. This is another point I wanted to just make. I noticed some devotees, they talk about conquering the Lord. This is the last thing a devotee should want. We don't want to conquer the Lord. We want to surrender to the Lord. We want to serve the Lord. We want to love the Lord. We want to give the Lord whatever we can that is beautiful, glorious, and wonderful. Not, I want to conquer you so that you can become at my feet. That's what conquered means. But yes, it's true. The Lord is conquered by his devotee. But the devotee does not take that to heart because he thinks and feels that if the Lord appears to be conquered, it is only by his own grace that he is given to me. So he gets the credit. At this point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, this is all right, but still you can speak more on this subject. Ramananda Roy continued, as long as there is hunger and thirst within the stomach, varieties of food and drink make one feel very happy. Similarly, when the Lord is worshipped with pure love, the various activities performed in the course of that worship awaken transcendental bliss in the heart of the devotee. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price. That is, anybody know what that price is? It's called greed. And it's something that every materialist knows. But here, the price is to be paid to greed for the love of Krishna. So that is intense greed to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. Hearing up to the point of spontaneous love, we're almost finished with this, so I want to go to the highest level of bhakti level. Hearing up to the point of spontaneous love, the Lord said, this is all right, but if you know more, please tell me. A man becomes purified simply by hearing the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose lotus feet create the holy places of pilgrimage. Therefore, what remains to be attained by those who have become his servants? By serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires and is completely pacified. When shall I engage as your permanent eternal servant and always feel joyful to have such a perfect master? So we should feel this way. We are all having the opportunity, the privilege, the glory to serve the Supreme Lord. Some of us are dressing the deities. Many of us are cooking for the deities. Many of us are serving devotees who are advanced. So we are very blessed. We are very fortunate. And we should always think, I'm not even worthy of this, but by Krishna's grace, he wants me so much to improve and advance. He is allowing me, permitting me to have this. So let me show my appreciation. Let me show my thankfulness. Let me show my gratitude. Hearing this from Ramananda Roy, the Lord again requested him to go a step further. In reply, Ramananda Roy said, loving service to Krishna rendered in fraternity is the highest perfection. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no, it was not the highest. Neither those engaged in the self-realization of appreciating the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, nor those engaged in devotional service while accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as master, nor those under the clutches of Maya thinking the Lord an ordinary person, can understand that certain exalted personalities, after accumulating volumes of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord in friendship as what? Cowherd boys. They're just playing and they just take him like he's just another one of, but they are so advanced that they achieved this position of a cowherd boy. One would think, well, he doesn't know anything. He's a little ignoramus. Not so. They know so much, and yet it is all within the way they treat the Lord. So friendly, so affectionately, so lovingly. They can't stand to be without the association of Krishna for even one second. They look back, Krishna's gone. Where's Krishna? Where did he go? What? Oh, there he is up there. And they start running and running after him. Who can touch him first? The Lord said, this statement is very good, but please proceed even further. Ramananda Roy continued, O Brahman, he's quoting, what pious activities did Nanda Maharaj perform by which he received the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna as his son? And what pious activities did Mother Yashoda perform that made the absolute Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna call her mother and suck her breasts for his food? The favor Mother Yashoda obtained from Sri Krishna, the bestower of liberation, was never obtained even by Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, nor even by the goddess of fortune, who always remains on the chest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu. When Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Ras Lila, the gopis were embraced around the neck by the Lord's arms. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or the other consorts in the spiritual world. Nor was such a thing ever imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, girls whose bodily luster and aroma resembled the beauty and fragrance of lotus flowers. And what to speak of worldly women who may be very, very beautiful according to the material estimation. Suddenly, due to their feelings of separation, Lord Krishna appeared among the gopis dressed in yellow garments. This is being read by Ramananda Roy, so we shouldn't get confused. Suddenly, due to their feelings of separation, Lord Krishna appeared among the gopis dressed in yellow garments and wearing a flower garland. His lotus face was smiling, and he was directly attracting the mind of Cupid. Cupid is a Roman god. Our Cupid is Kama, okay, so that we understand that. I was corrected by a few scholars when I used the word Cupid, but it means Kama is this basically the same. The love god. I got the wrong. Just one second. I may have the wrong page. Excuse me. Everybody can take a deep breath now. Okay, page 60 I was on. I'm looking for page 61. Oh, here it is. Yeah. There are various means and processes by which one may attain the favor of Lord Krishna. All those transcendental processes will be studied from the viewpoint of comparative importance. It is true that whatever relationship a particular devotee has with the Lord is the best for him. Still, when we study all the different methods from a neutral position, we can understand that there are higher and lower degrees of love. Increasing love is experienced in various tastes, one above another. But that love which has the highest taste in the gradual succession of desires manifests itself in the form of conjugal love. Again, this is the Madhurya Ras, the romantic Ras. There is a gradual order of improvement in transcendental mellows from the initial ones to the later ones. Now, if anyone wants to leave now, I excuse them and they can go. But for those who would like to hear at least to the last stage of bhakti, please stay. It's only about 5-10 more minutes, and I'll be glad to continue. But I will not feel insulted if you walk out now. So therefore, I give you complete leave. There is a gradual order of improvement in transcendental mellows, from the initial ones to the later ones. In each subsequent mellow, mellow is a mood. It's a specific kind of feeling. The qualities of the previous mellows are manifested, counting from two. So what is basically then three, and up to the point of five complete qualities. So what happens? First, one particular mellow is manifested of love. And then another one is manifested. But when the other one is manifested, the first one is in that as well. So you get two for one, so to speak. And then another one, a third one is manifested. And that third one becomes part of the next one. And so forth. So you got a lot of juicy ecstasy going on in this particular situation. In each subsequent mellow, the qualities of the previous mellows are manifested, counting from two, then three, and up to the point of five complete qualities. As the qualities increase, so the taste also increases in each and every mellow. Therefore, the qualities found in Shantaras, that's Shantaras is the first, and it's characterized by calmness, by peacefulness. Therefore, the qualities found in Shantaras, Dasyaras is servitorship, Sakyaras is romantic, and romantic. But they're not put in the normal order. And Vatsalya Ras are all manifested in conjugal love, Madhurya Ras. So the qualities in the material elements, sky, air, fire, water, and earth, increase one after another. By a gradual process of one, two, and three, and at this last stage in the element earth, all five qualities are completely visible. So in the earth, we know we have water there, we have the there's fire in there. There has to be, the five elements have to be there for any to really grow. So earth, water, fire, air, ether are in the last stage in the element earth. All five qualities are completely visible there. Complete attainment of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna is made possible by love of Godhead. This is the main element of the prescription. Love of Godhead. Specifically, Madhurya Ras or conjugal love. Now that's interesting because in this romantic type of love, or attached type of love, the lovers never want to be separated from one another. In fact, they feel it painful. It's disturbing. It's distressing to have to be separate from one whom you have a deep, heartfelt love. And that's what this is all about. And therefore, the gopis, although they go home at night and go to sleep, they're always thinking of Krishna. And they're hoping they'll hear that flute sound. And when they hear that flute sound, they go rushing and running and racing out to go and meet him, associate with him, and offer him their love. Complete attainment of lotus feet of Lord Krishna is made possible by love of Godhead, specifically Madhurya Ras, or conjugal love. Lord Krishna is indeed captivated by this standard. Again, here we have the concept of captivation. And yes, he melts. When the gopis show their love for him, he literally melts and can't hardly speak that he's so overwhelmed by the purity of their love. Complete attainment of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna is made possible by love of Godhead, specifically Madhurya Ras or conjugal love. Lord Krishna is indeed captivated by this standard of love. This is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Quote, Lord Krishna told the gopis, quote, the means of attaining my favor is loving service unto me. And fortunately, you are all thus engaged. Those living beings who render service unto me are eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world and attain eternal life with knowledge and bliss. Lord Krishna has made a firm promise for all time. If one renders service unto him, Krishna correspondingly or reciprocally gives him an equal amount of success in devotional service to the Lord. According to Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 4:11, as all surrender unto me, what does he do? As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Thank you. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10:32-22, it is said that Lord Krishna cannot proportionately reciprocate devotional service in the Madhurya Ras. That's fascinating. It means he cannot give the love back which he has received. So much does he savor it. So much does he cherish it. So much does he love it that he feels empty. He feels in debt. That is a word that he uses. I'm in debt to all of you persons. So he cannot proportionately reciprocate devotional service in the Madhurya Ras. Therefore, he always remains a debtor to such devotees. When the gopis were overwhelmed with dissatisfaction due to Lord Krishna's absence from the Ras Lila, Krishna returned to them and told them, "My dear gopis, our meeting is certainly free of all material contamination. I must admit that in many lives, it would be impossible for me to repay my debt to you because you have cut off the bondage of family life just to search for me. Consequently, I am unable to repay you." Again, consequently, I am unable to repay you. Therefore, please be satisfied with your honest activities in this regard. So, what is he actually saying here? What he's saying is that you gopis, by what you have done, by what you have felt, by what you express, are so blissful, so uplifted, so enraptured, be satisfied with that because you're getting a very great deal. So, in other words, don't look for something more. You've gotten the highest already. Although Krishna's unparalleled beauty is the topmost sweetness of love of Godhead, his sweetness increases unlimitedly when he is in the company of the gopis. Consequently, Krishna's exchange of love with the gopis is the topmost perfection of love of Godhead. Although the son of Devaki, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the reservoir of all kinds of beauty, when he is among the gopis, he nonetheless becomes more beautiful, for he resembles a Marakata jewel surrounded by gold and other jewels. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "This is certainly the limit of perfection, but please be merciful to me and speak more if there is more." Ramananda Roy replied, "Until this day, I did not know anyone within this material world who could inquire beyond this perfectional stage of devotional service. Among the loving affairs of the gopis," Ramananda Roy continued, "Srimati Radharani's love for Sri Krishna is topmost. Indeed, the glories of Srimati Radharani are highly esteemed in all revealed scriptures. Just as Srimati Radharani is most dear to Sri Krishna, her bathing place, Radhakund, is also dear to him." How many of us here have gone to Radhakund and bathed in it? Or at least put your foot in it? Yeah. "Among all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is supermost and very dear to Lord Krishna." When the gopis began to talk among themselves, they said, "Dear friends, the gopi who has been taken away by Krishna to a secluded place must have worshipped the Lord more than anyone else." Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Please speak on. I am very happy to hear you because a river of unprecedented nectar is flowing from your mouth. During the Ras dance, Sri Krishna did not exchange loving affairs with Srimati Radharani due to the presence of the other gopis. Because of the dependence of the others, the intensity of love between Radha and Krishna was not manifest. Therefore, he stole her away. Interesting. If Lord Krishna rejected the company of the other gopis for Srimati Radharani, we can understand that Lord Krishna has intense affection for her. So, should I continue for another 2 minutes or end it here? Another 2 minutes? Okay. Ramananda Roy continued, please therefore hear from me about the glories of Srimati Radharani's loving affairs. Sorry. They are beyond compare within these three worlds. Finding herself treated equally with all the other gopis, Srimati Radharani displayed her tricky behavior and left the circle of the Ras dance. Missing Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radharani's presence, Krishna became very unhappy and began to lament and wander throughout the forest to search her out. Lord Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, took Srimati Radharani within his heart, for he desired to dance with her. Thus, he he left the arena of the Ras dance and the company of all the other beautiful damsels of Vraj. Being afflicted by the arrow of Cupid and unhappily regretting his mistreating Srimati Radharani, Madhava, Lord Krishna, began to search for her along the banks of the Yamuna River. When he failed to find her, he entered the bushes of Vrindavan and began to lament. Simply by considering these two verses, which I just read, one can understand what nectar there is in such dealings. It is exactly like freeing a mine of nectar. Although Krishna was in the midst of hundreds of thousands of gopis during the Ras dance, he still kept himself in one of his transcendental forms by the side of Srimati Radharani. Lord Krishna is equal to everyone in his general dealings, but due to the conflicting ecstatic love of Srimati Radharani, there were opposing elements. The progress of loving affairs between a young boy, like a teenager, and a young girl is like the movement of a snake. On account of this, two types of anger arise between a young boy and girl. Anger with cause and anger without cause. When Radharani left the Ras dance out of anger and resentment, Lord Sri Krishna became very anxious because he could not see her. Lord Krishna's desire in the Ras Leela circle is perfectly complete, but Srimati Radharani is the binding link in that desire. The Ras dance does not shine in the heart of Krishna without Srimati Radharani. Therefore, he also gave up the circle of the Ras dance and went out to search for her. For those of you or those of us who want to continue the reading, I stopped at text 115, okay? And I thank you all for tolerating my egocentric reading and reading and reading far past the time that I should have. But what can I do? I too became intoxicated by this incredible story. Thank you, and Hare Krishna.